Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that will give all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. And if you misplace it, you might check the website for that and even more. Food. Well, we just got back from 2 weeks at the monastery. And I tell you, there is nothing like being fed to deepen your relationship with God. And we do have a couple of opportunities for you all to increase your intimacy with God. There's a commuter retreat coming up in May and a 5-day, 6-day, 10-day retreat coming up in June. You know, even the monks do retreats, and they live in the courts, the house of the courts of the Lord. But they take retreats every year because there's something about getting away, even when you're being fed, to deepen that relationship and to let go of obstacles to that. Well, they go to McCartney Mesa, is
it? Yeah, but to a cabin all by themselves.
Oh, to a cabin by themselves. On the grounds. We have an opportunity coming up, and that is an adult baptism will be offered in May. And there's it's going to be for all of you who have not been baptized and feel the call to be baptized. And for those of you who may have been baptized earlier in your life and you would like to renew your baptism. There are 4 classes that you are required to take to participate, and there's an insert in your bulletin that'll talk about that. Jackie Botto, our assistant godly play director, is signing up people for the summer quarter, and so for those of you who are teachers, please let her know as soon as possible if you know when you'll be out of town so she can do the scheduling. And this might be a good time for those of you who are interested or feel called to work with godly play to sign up too and see if that might be a good place to come aboard. It is a fabulous program, and our teachers are so blessed, as well as our children. As part of our ministry at CCH, we do collect non-perishable food items to be taken to Caritas, and then they distribute them to people who are in need. So that will be, there will be a table outside the kitchen, and that will be next Sunday. And thank you, all of you who do participate. I know it's something else to do. You have to gather and put them in a thing and remember to take them out of the door of your house and bring them over here. It's just but it is so appreciated. And CCH is one of the steady contributors to Caritas. Ah, Sue and Rusty take that over to them, and we contributed 300 pounds of food last month. So thank you for participating in that. And after the service today, you know, during our services, we really just talk about the business at hand, transformation in Christ. And we don't talk a lot about what is going on in the church. Once a year, we have an annual meeting. And during that meeting, we give a state, the board gives a state of the church, and you get to meet your board members, and they probably know them anyway, but to see them collectively and to ratify the board. And we ask you to please join us and participate in that function of the church. There will not be a gathering in the fellowship hall after church because of the meeting, which will follow immediately after the service. And now Tim has a message for us.
It's hard to estimate the contribution that Thomas Keating has made to the world and to this congregation. When we went up to the monastery, he had plans to see us. And he called the second day he was there in the tiniest, weakest voice and said, "We can't get together." He's had several bouts of atrial fibrillation. He's been in the hospital 5 times this winter, pneumonia 3 times, and something going on in his alimentary canal. So that's fine. We love being with the monks. We love knowing him. Glad just to be there. So that was fine. Last week the phone rang, and he said, "Can we get together this afternoon?" So we went over to the reading room in the monastery, which is in the infirmary wing. And there he was with his walker to greet us. And we all went in and sat down. And we had the most intimate and loving conversation I've ever had with him in my life. And he wasn't, he's writing another book. But there was very little of the wisdom teacher, the monk, the worldwide figure. What was there was a humble, older man in his 90s who's letting go progressively of his time on this earth. And the intimacy we shared with him was so fulfilling and so real. I don't even know how to describe it. But at the end of our time together, I asked him, "Do you have a word of wisdom for our community? Because we're going through transitions too here. And what can you give to us, Father Thomas?" And he said, "Well, send them my love if you think it's appropriate." And then he said, "Persevere. Persevere." Now, Father Keating delivered a message to the world that has not been delivered in centuries. He brought out of the monastic tradition, out of the Trappist tradition, which has existed since, I think, 1048, out of that tradition, which has been like an underground river flowing beneath culture, beneath society, beneath the world conditions. It has bubbled up to the surface in our time. And he has, with his wisdom and his acute psychology, offered a psychology of spiritual transformation, second to none. Now, it occurred to me as we were talking about his time in the hospital, he said, "Well, they're always changing staff and they're always changing doctors. You never know anybody." And I realized, you know, the people that come into his room have no idea what's laying in that bed. No idea what's being carried in that earthen vessel, the treasure that has been offered to us. Now, it's very easy, because Thomas has been so available to us, so here so often, to take him for granted or to see him as just Thomas. Just Thomas. You know, he inaugurated this sanctuary. He paraded around here with incense and holy water. The roof almost came off the place. He dedicated Theosis Chapel. He has been a figure in this community since the very beginning. And so we've seen him so often, we may fail to recognize the treasure that's within the earthen vessel. We may tend to think that the earthen vessel was the source of what was offered to us. But that's not so. Thomas was a lens through which the Holy Spirit moved to reestablish the truth of Christian life, not churchianity, the truth of Christian life on this earth, and the transformative way that leads to realization of that truth. This is no small thing. And it's no secret that Thomas expects hard times to come for the human race. He has never made a secret of that. There's tough times coming. The gifts that he offers us are gifts that will turn us into Christ. This is not an achievement. It is not an attainment of the individual, because it's a humbling like him, a humble old man who gave his gift to life and now meets with friends when he can. Has nothing to say about himself. Other Christs. What will we lose to go all the way with Christ? What will we let go? Our feeling of otherness, our feeling of separation, our depression, our doubt, our uncertainty, our fear. All those things that govern the culture of which we are expressions, at least in our superficial part, this thing is run. This whole Western and Westernized culture is run on fear and power and greed. It's a current that sweeps people along with us, with it. Without thinking, babies are born, they are impressed with the cultural norm of the day, and they faithfully act out the values of the culture until and unless they awaken from the hypnotic sleep of separation and stand up and live like real human beings, fearlessly. Again, it's not an attainment. And it's not magic. It is simply a reversal of our attention. Our attention is fixated on the things that are outside of us, and our life and the very risen presence of the Good Shepherd are here in our hearts, unnoticed. Our bodies themselves, our bodies, are earthen vessels carrying treasure. But if that treasure is not uncovered, like the merchant that went and sold all he had to buy that field where the pearl of great price was established. If we don't sell, we're just functions of the culture. Living for a while, doing some stuff, getting some things, putting them in the storage shed. I know a woman that spent $21,000 on storage sheds, and by the time we helped her move, it had all rotted. It had all rotted. Had to have it. That's a cultural norm. Is it wise? Is it truthful? No. It's absolutely unenlightened and asleep. The living God is capable of doing anything. But I want you to think about it for a second. Why would Thomas Keating give so much attention to this little group? We've had him more than anybody in the world. Why would he pay so much attention to us? There's a word, ecclesia. Ecclesia, ecclesiastical. It means the called out or the called together. Because something in our hearts, something in us knows that there is more than our culture has been providing. And we may not know how to get out of it when we get here, but there are teachings here that go all the way from the kind of first grade of Christian metaphysics right on up through self-transcending teachings. And there are teachings in the work of inner Christianity that link us to the cosmos, that transcend culture, that transcend personality, and that offer us a life that until we experience it is just undreamed of. Because our dreams are made of what the culture imprints on us. What the times imprint on us. More of this, less of that, go here, stay out of there. And the whole time, the Good Shepherd, the risen Christ, waits for discovery in our hearts, waits for us to attend to his presence, the very life in us, more than we attend to the things of culture. And so Thomas's interest in this place was pulled by the fact that we're a community of practice. We're not observers. We're not in the bleachers. We're not critics. We're participants in the greater whole that is the body of Christ. And we're giving ourselves over daily in centering prayer to the silence that transforms us. We're giving ourselves impressions or insights, spiritual food in the work of inner Christianity that leads us almost like stones that walk across a pond, that teach us to walk across our minds on stones made of living ideas that take us from outer orientation to interior orientation and a life that appears to a life that is. And when we touch that life and it touches us, there's no mistaking. This is what's real. This is where the action is. This is what I've been hungering for all my life. And so Thomas came here and sowed his seed. And some of us have taken it up with abandon and have abandoned ourselves to it. And we have seen the light dawn in their faces. And we have seen the ease come into hearts that were once fretful and concerned. Now, if Father Thomas was the only one, it'd be really neat. Because, you know, he's a historical character. You don't get people in history this often like him. This is a towering figure that future generations will look to as being one who broke through the bond that seemed to separate interior from exterior. But we talked to Bernadette Roberts just before we came here. Another figure, a historical figure, without doubt, who has also given herself to this community over and over and over again. And just before we left, we spoke with her and she said, thank the community for their support. Now, she told us why she keeps coming here, because she says we're a community not of beginners, but of what she calls proficients. Now, a proficient doesn't mean you're the end product yet, but it means you're well established on the way. You get the way the deck is stacked. You get that your possessions will disappear, that you will die, that if you get happiness, you will also get sorrow, that if you get rich, you will also in some way be poor, that all the things of the world are in dual nature. They're bearing their opposites. This much up makes this much down. This much right makes this much left. This is a dualistic world. And when we're part of that dualistic exchange, everything looks polarized. Everything seems other. Bernadette sees in us a seedbed for her teachings, which are Christian to the core and self-transcending. They're not self-aggrandizing. They're not self-promoting. They're self-transcending and Christ-bearing. Christ, the Good Shepherd, that's today's scripture, the story of the Good Shepherd. Christ, his risen presence is literally in each and every heart. We are children of God. Right now, the other scriptures, 1 John, letter of 1 John, we are already children of God. If we don't know it, that doesn't make it not so. That means we haven't been looking in the right place. So Thomas Keating, Bernadette Roberts, two historical figures whose teachings fit each other just perfectly. Thomas is the on-ramp. He offers the spiritual psychology and the practices that let us go from identifying with our worldly appearance to identifying an identity with the Christ within us. Bernadette takes it the next step. Once you've identified Christ within and understood what it is, then you can abandon yourself to it and, in a sense, die while yet alive. Die to the story of poor you or wonderful you, poor me or wonderful me. That ain't about nothing, as one of my seminary friends said. Ain't about nothing. That all goes away. The life that we hunger for is here, and it is eternal life. It is outside of time. The spirit in our hearts exists outside of time. But we don't leave time. Our identity leaves time. And we get to live the eternal realities in every single now. When now seems happy, when now seems sad, when now seems up, when now seems down, when now it seems like the world is blooming, when now seems like the world is collapsing. We're not living in it anymore. We appear in it. We have our place in it, and boy, do we have a place. Because if we abandon ourselves to Christ, can you imagine the force of a community that is literally committed to practice, that is literally called out not to oppose the world, not to be against anything, but to be so for the self-transcending love that is the Good Shepherd that we now resonate with each other on a profound level. Now, as I said, what makes this community unique? And as far as I know, it's the only Christian community like it in the world. And why Thomas and Bernadette have favored it with so much of their effort is because it's a community of participation. This community has been a community of participation from the beginning. We started in a house. Then we moved to a little bank building over on 360. And we built it out ourselves. My dentist, our friend Bob Rader, was our building contractor. And then we moved up to an office building. It used to be a tax collector's office full of cubby holes where tax collectors harassed people. And we turned it into a church, and we did it ourselves. And this church was large, a lot of it was built with what we called sweat equity. It's always been a church of participation. It's not an observer's church, it's a participant's church. So this morning, as we anticipate our annual meeting, as we get ready for our annual meeting, I'd like each of us to ask ourselves, what is our level of participating? Is it sufficient to warrant the size of the gift that's offered? That's something only you and God know. Nobody else can tell that. Have you given your life to God? Have you realized that your life is God's life? The new National Geographic has the top 10 pictures taken by the Hubble. Oh my God. The grandeur, the glory, the transcendent beauty, and the hearts in human beings who can recognize it and savor it are a true wonder. And they are a wonder of the glory of God, not of man. A wonder that we're largely unaware of when we're concerned with economic issues, political issues, social issues, instead of the only issue that lasts, the God issue. So right now, as we sit here, can you remember some of your favorite Hubble images? The Whirlpool Galaxy. Oh my God. The Sombrero Galaxy. That's right now. This room is embedded in space. This room is a part of the Andromeda Galaxy. This room is penetrated. Every solid object in this room is penetrated by the presence of God. It penetrates every solid object. It overcomes every powerful force. The raging seas that swamp New Orleans, the fires, the wildfires that go out, are nothing in God. Nothing. This is the most powerful, more sunny than the sun, more tender than a mother with her baby. All of it at once. So our community has grown amazingly, not in numbers, but in depth. It may always have small numbers because we ask something of ourselves here. We ask ourselves to play for real. We offer ourselves to God for real. And we trust that the teachers He has sent us, the good shepherds, you see, they give their bodies, the Spirit, the Christ, shepherds us through them, has given themselves to us so fully and completely because we are a community of participation. We're not a congregation that goes home, went to church, there you are, thank you very much, had a nice sermon, see you next week. That's not what we are. But we also can't rest. The Spirit says, come on. Just like you say to your kid when they're learning to walk, come on, you can take a couple more steps. And you pull the hands back. Come on, you can take a couple more steps. And we do. We learn to walk upright, Now this morning, in honor of our annual meeting, which I pray you will attend, whether you feel like it or not, because this is your community. This is your church, and we're each contributing ourselves to make it what it can be, not only what we can be. Man is never found alone. He's a community creature. We need each other. People don't get enlightened by themselves. Thomas got it in a monastery. Bernadette got it in a Carmelite monastery. It's the collection of people focused on the same thing that transforms people into the usness that we truly are in God, and out of the individualism that locks us into narcissism, separation, and despair. So this morning, I would like you to share with me our appreciation of the charism of participation that we've been given. Michael, would you lead us in noticing our participants? Michael, by the way, will be leading our board meeting. He's our board president.
This is going to be like reading the genealogy of Jesus.
You got to say that out loud.
I said, this is going to be like reading the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of Matthew
14.
Yesterday we had a board meeting, and one of the things that I shared with the board were some thoughts that I had about the president's report that I will be sharing. And they said, no, you need to do that during the main service. We need this particular part to be part of the main service, and Tim said it will fit so well with the message. What I had done is sat down for a little bit of time and thought about all of the roles, all of the contribution that various members of this community make to keep this thing going. We used to say that the board members worked like crazy to keep the church going. That's actually not true anymore. It's really easy being a board member nowadays because the community is doing so much. So we thank you for that. So reading this is to give us collectively a sense and an appreciation for all of those who are selflessly pouring themselves into the manifestation of this church in one way or another. We have the people who, over the last couple of years, have begun to, have volunteered to facilitate work groups. We have a committee, the work group committee, which does all of the administrative organization of the work groups. We have the 10th Man School Committee, which got formed a couple of years ago. We have the members of the 10th Man School itself who put on the structure, some of the special enrichment events that some of you have been to, as well as who facilitate the Friday night contemplative service. We have the Centering Prayer Committee. And then we have the Centering Prayer Retreat staff. So every Sunday, you hear Barbara sit up here and tell us about the roaring river of Centering Prayer events that that occur throughout the year. There's a lot of people involved who actually make those happen. We have the Introduction to Centering Prayer staff, the people who put on four of those workshops every year. We have our prayer group leaders. We have the floral committee, who does extraordinary things to make our sanctuary beautiful each week. We have the communion committee, and we have a group of communion servers who come every Sunday. We have the contemplative response team and the person who leads that team. We have our SEVA leaders who are their own committee. And then all of the members, all of the people who are part of SEVA teams, which is probably most of us, have the Youth Council, We have community work day participants. And we have Dennis Klopper, who manages and shepherds the community work days. We have Beverly and the choir, who does magnificently beautiful things a few times a year. We have Susan and the Gurdjieff musicians, who gift us with their unbelievable talents. We have Sue and Bev and Kelly and other guest vocalists who come. We have our movements leaders and our movements musicians. We have the that was the audio team. We have the midweek service ushers and the communion servers for the midweek service. We have the contemplative lunch cooks. Every Wednesday, somebody comes and prepares a delicious lunch for our weekly contemplative lunch. We have participants in the weekly prayer circle. We have the work of inter-Christianity leaders. We have people who are instructors for a number of classes, simple explanation of work ideas, lessons in truth, the baptism class, the gospel and the work class, the new member classes. People organize and lead each of these. We have the folks who work in the bookstore. We have people who are part of our prison ministry. We have our youth program teachers and our doorkeepers and the angels for our children. We have the people who are actually part of the staff of the Church of Conscious Harmony. We have Donald and Lisa, who are the familiar faces in Virginia, who work in the office. We have Don and Deborah, who lead the youth programs. We have Tim and Barbara, of course. We have a fellow named Brad Houghton, who you've probably never seen, unless you come during the week. And if you see somebody who is very sweaty and covered with dust, that's Brad. We have a group of people who produce our, I would like to say award-winning, but it hasn't been, our extraordinary monthly newsletter, The Mark. We have Sandra Ely, who is the editor, Carol Hager, who does design work on it, and many members of our community who contribute articles to The Mark. We have an unbelievably beautiful new website, and that website was designed and built by members of our community. And the photography was also provided by somebody in our community. Who did I forget? Any big chunks? The board. Sorry? Our greeters, right. So I think that we may have left out two or three of you, but we understand that new people do show up every Sunday. So there's an opportunity. So as Tim was saying, one of the things that distinguishes the Church of Conscious Harmony is it is a church of participation. So welcome. This is our church. Wow.
Thomas didn't do this. Bernadette didn't do this. Barb and I didn't do this. The Board of Trustees didn't do this. The Holy Spirit has been and will continue to be doing this through each of us who allow ourselves to become transparent to the presence of Christ, who allow ourselves to be genuinely the ecclesia, the called together. who embrace the vision of humanity as considerably more than we have been demonstrating recently. Now, I mentioned the new issue of the Geographic with the Hubble photographs, 10 of them in staggering wonder. This issue also has a cover story about one of the great men of our time, Abraham Lincoln. There's the very best of self-transcending service. He shepherded our country. He rose to the occasion and showed far more spiritual reality than we had a right to expect from anybody. He gave himself because he wanted to bring the noblest values of human being to life in this nation. Divisions and separation, polarization and opposition have been the way of the world forever. The spirit of oneness in Christ, there is no male or female or Jew or Greek or slave or free. There are no divisions in Christ. And when we learn to bear that Christ, to open to that Christ in our own lives, the polarization disappears. We are left out, freed from duality and otherness, and we get to have hearts overflowing with compassion and become ourselves servants of the Good Shepherd in the ordinary things we do in our lives. Also in this issue is the other pole. It shows a human being in India covered with coal dust, carrying an enormous rock of coal on his head. He's a prisoner of a corrupt government system as well as a corrupt rebel system. A huge swath of India is covered with persecution and exploitation of human beings. Every one of our cell phones, our water purifier that we have at home, has a rare earth element that is only found in the Congo and is often mined by children. This world is interconnected. It is one thing with one fabric and one humanity. Where are the people who will stand up and be as human as it's possible to be? To live in truth so that the seed that was sown here by the good graces of God through Bernadette and Thomas Keating grows into the fullness of what is possible. This meeting that we'll share this afternoon will be the second to last meeting, community meeting, that Barb and I will be a part of. The church is getting ready to go through a transition, and we mustn't let it come upon us like a problem or suddenly. Every one of us is capable of ever deeper participation in daily practice in our homes and participation in the ongoingness of the creation of Christian ecclesia, Christian community, that is more than just some people who come to church and hear some ideas that they agree or disagree with, but that is experientially aligned with reality in such a way that we're witnesses to the glory of God and the dignity that he has placed in the human spirit. We are unlimited. Any limits that we experience are habits. By faith, mountains have been moved and healings have happened. By faith, everything works. Without it, nothing. This community is a treasure. It is a treasure not only to those who are in it, it is a treasure to those who have invested their lives in it and given it what it has. It's a treasure that is buried in each of the earthen vessels that is our humble human form, which is dependent on God for every breath, every heartbeat, every swallow. There's no independent life. Nobody has an independent life. Every life is God's life, and we are all interdependent with each other. I love being part of people who know that together. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Spoken. grace for the sickness of the wet garden, strong in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of a new
day. And now let's join together for a time of community-centering prayer. To prepare ourselves, we just become aware that the chairs that we're sitting on support our body weight. And in that awareness, we accept that support and relax. Let go. Open. Relaxed and open, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love, resting in the heart. We listen to the words of the psalmist. Oh, my beloved, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You bring me to green pastures for rest and lead me beside still waters, renewing my spirit. You restore my soul. You lead me in the path of goodness to follow love's way. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow and of death, I am not afraid, for you are ever with me. Your rod and your staff, they guide me. They give me strength and comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of all my fears. You bless me with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the heart of the Beloved forever. And as we rest in centering prayer, we open the presence of that good shepherd. now through the grace of informed teachings and through what we have experienced in our own lives, we dare to pray with confidence as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've come to the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, and abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our consciousness of what has always been truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's claim the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the living treasure within our own human vessels. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of the moments of each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. You know, here we are about to experience a connection with all creation, but in particular, everyone who is right now or ever has or ever will participate in the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, Father Keating says, we are not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under the symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is a celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are a part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation, insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather, instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Let's join together and pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize that you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace.